Hello and welcome to Keanu Club, like a cool breeze over the mountains. This is episode 42, Me and Will, from 1999. I'm Mike Manzi.
And I'm Joey Lewandowski, and this is the first Keanu Club movie that I have not seen and did not watch, but we will get to that in a second. But with us today, before we get into the movie, or the lack of a movie, really, we have Holly Gore. Hello, Holly.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
This is your first Keanu, right? Or have you been on before?
No, this is my first time with Keanu.
And we didn't even make you watch a movie for this one.
I know. I feel like I'm getting away with something here.
So the movie that we're supposed to record today, or talk about today, is this movie called Me and Will from 99, as Mike said, but Mike watched the movie and realized sort of what we had kind of come to fear about this movie, right?
Absolutely. In our worst ways. These are like our worst fears. I mean, this wasn't even a situation like Welcome to Hollywood with Cage, where we got an entertaining Alan Rifkin mockumentary, but this is like beyond even Cowgirl Get the Blues disappointment type level. I mean, Keanu's in it less.
You want to quickly explain why we're not actually talking about the movie today, and then you can do a quick review.
Okay, so basically we're not talking about the movie because Keanu is only in the opening sequence with his band Dogstar performing the opening number, and then isn't in the rest of the movie whatsoever. doesn't say anything, just plays his bass, kind of jumps around on stage, and falls on his back at one point, and drinks a beer or something, and then he's out of there. And then the rest of the movie is about two girls trying to reenact Easy Rider. Basically, they are biker girls who love Easy Rider and are going somewhere to have experiences on the road, and it is just bad. It is flat and pretentious and hard to watch. I suffered through it. I mean, even Cowgirls Get the Blues, at least that had Crispin Glover and you know, Lorraine Bracco. I mean, I don't know. It had stuff, but this just had nothing. I was so disappointed.
And so now, billed as being in the movie as himself? Or
he's billed as Dogstar, right?
Yeah, and I think the other guy in the movie is McDreamy. I always forget his name. Who played McDreamy? But
Patrick Dempsey?
Patrick Dempsey, yeah. He's in the movie. He's very much in this movie. He's like the main actor in the film, aside from the two women. Wish it was Keanu. Would have made a lot more sense. You know, he's into motorcycles. This is sort of trying to be a motorcycle film in the old tradition of like the 70s biker films.
So we are taking this opportunity to do an episode that we've been kind of meaning to do since the beginning of Keanu Club, which is an episode about Keanu's band Dogstar and their music. There is a YouTube playlist of their 28 or so songs. If you have Spotify and you search Dogstar, they have a collection that came out, I want to say like 3 years ago. I don't think the band is really truly still active. We can get into that in a little bit, but they put out 3 years ago like this Dogstar The Complete Collection. So there's about an hour and a half worth of music that you can listen to. So we're going to try to sort of tackle that today instead of talking about Me and Will. Now, the one thing that worries me about a future Keanu Club movie is that he's also credited, or Dogstar is also in Ellie Parker, which is the Naomi Watts movie from 2005. And I really wonder if it's going to be another situation like that. Like, I don't know. I haven't looked into that movie in terms of whether he's actually in that movie or not. But when I was reading the Dogstar wiki, they were in this movie and that movie.
Well, at least that'll have Naomi Watts in it. I mean, this had Patrick Dempsey. I had to watch Outbreak after this to get some good Patrick Dempsey movie in me to wash the taste of this one out of my mouth. But yeah, this just didn't have any support to it.
Yeah, so going all the way back to Letting Go, the third episode of Keanu Club, where he played Stereo Teen, we know that Keanu's been a man interested in music. And so we've talked about Dogstar in a couple different episodes up till now, but this is the first time that I've ever actually listened to their music. And it is not great. I don't really want to get too far into it before we let our guests speak, but Holly, what did you think of Dogstar?
So Dogstar is definitely what I would have listened to in high school, driving around in my Geo Tracker in the summer. Like, it felt like, you know, like a bargain buy at Hot Topic that you buy because it's like $5 on sale. Like, very grunge alternative music. Definitely not something I would listen to now. But it wasn't too horrible. I mean, it's obviously a passion project for Keanu, and you can tell. But it's not horrible music. It's just okay music.
It feels like just a bunch of friends jamming in a basement, and then one of them is Keanu Reeves, and because of that, they're able to get out into the world. Like, it's not bad, but I think there's a quote on their wiki page about, oh, there's a Dogstar TV series. That's not what I wanted to, what I wanted to click on at all. But there was a quote on their wiki page about how they eventually decided to play for a live audience, and later Keanu Reeves would describe that as, quote, a huge mistake. So it seems like they just wanted to have fun and just sort of play music with each other. Like, the Dogstar, I think, began when he and another actor who's most known, I think, for, like, a soap opera, just started a conversation because one of them was wearing, like, a hockey jersey. And so Keanu, I think Keanu was like, hey, you need a goalie. And so they started, like, playing hockey together, and they liked music together, and they were both actors. And then they just started jamming. And so they made Dogstar, and they just became as famous as they are, which I guess is to say not very, because Keanu's in the band, right? Like, I can't imagine, like, because that's not bad. It's just not, like, it's not great.
Yeah, I also thought of Bruce Willis, because celebrities, actors with bands, like, crossovers like that, you know? And, I mean, this is definitely better than his project. Like, he plays the harmonica, and it's just nails on a chalkboard. I mean, this stuff, I was liking it until the vocals came in, basically. I was like, oh, I could get into this. I like this. This mood, this is giving me, like, a mood I like. And then suddenly the guy started singing, and it kind of just ruined it for me. Otherwise, this is just pretty good late grunge stuff I would hear at Starbucks. Music that you see sold at the register. I mean, I just did the that Now and Again podcast, and there were like two or three bands on that episode, volume 4, that sound like this, you know, that had success in the late 90s, early 2000s type of era. And yeah, definitely because of Keanu, they got their notoriety, but, you know, it's not because of him that they became superstars because of their music. Like, he's not Flea or, you know, Les Claypool on the bass. He's just a rock bassist doing the basics. I didn't hear any kind of extraordinary musicianship, especially coming from him necessarily. And they're just good. They're okay. It's just, but those vocals were tough.
Even the lyrics, they were very basic. Trying to remember the one song that stood out, but it's like, you were a good girl, but you're a bad girl. You're a good and bad girl. Like, it's very, again, it's very like stuff that like you listen to in high school and you're like, this speaks to me. And you look at it 10 years later and you're like, oh man, why was I so into that?
I really kind of wish that this was like a chick singer, because I feel like, just like you guys, the main vocalist doesn't do anything for me. And I don't know if it would necessarily convey more to the music if it was a different vocalist, but it would be more interesting, I think. Or if the guy singer had more range. It just feels like everything he's singing feels the same. And I feel like it's definitely one of those kind of bands that you would, like Holly was describing in terms of her history, her specific era in her life. Like, I listened to Evanescence for like a month and I was just like, oh, they're the best band of all time. And now, like, you look back at them now, you're like, oh God, like, what was I doing with my life? But I think this is sort of that kind of thing where they have something cool. The instrumentals are pretty cool, even if it's just sort of like a knockoff of a knockoff of Nirvana in some sense. I listened to all the songs. I listened to at least half of all the songs. I skipped forward through almost all of them because, like, there's nothing, they don't build to things. There is one song that I liked more than the rest. It was a longer one. And I looked down and I was like, I'm kind of feeling this. And there was like still 5 minutes left in the song. I was like, oh, I am not going to get through this.
The style is very fitting because I think it said on Wikipedia they were active from 91 to about 2002, which was the same time like Black Hole Sun and that whole grungy, like, ooh.
Yeah, the
Creed.
Seattle wave.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it fit the time. It just, you know, I guess that doesn't hold up so well throughout the years.
Part of it for me is it just felt like there was no edge to it, right? Like, you know, Soundgarden, Nirvana, like these bands, like even Foo Fighters now, like there's edge to that stuff, you know, that kind of screams rock and roll. And this to me just feels like Joey said earlier, a bunch of friends having fun that have the benefit of Keanu being in their band and therefore they can get a record deal if they want one, or put out a couple records and it's no big thing, and you know, they could be heard of and they could be a thing for a while and they can have their fun.
I did find that the song that I liked more than the rest is The History Light, but it's over 6 minutes long, and I was just like, I can't get through all of this. Like, even when they have stuff that's kind of good, it all kind of reverts to that mean where everything just sort of sounds the same. There was one song, I don't remember the name of the song, I'm not going to go back and find it, but there's one song that kind of starts out with like a little bit of like a bass riff or like a bass groove, and I was like, yeah, Keanu, get it. Like, that's the one thing I'm listening for. The rest of it just kind of like, everything just falls into like a muddy mix of just, I can't really tell what he's doing in the given song. I mean, I'm not, as I said on my episode of Now and Again, I'm not really good at describing music, and music's never really been a huge part of my life, so I can't really describe it well, but I just know that he kind of recedes to the background, and like a movie that we would watch where he's not in it much, I kind of wish that there was more, like, I know this is an extreme example, but like if this was like Primus, where it's just like, you know, the bass, it's all about the bass, it's all about Les Claypool, it's all about, you know, him right up front, like that would be cool, but mm-hmm. here it's just like he's just there, he's just in the band, and he's just hanging out, which is totally cool. I just wish that for the Keanu Reeves band, quote unquote, he would have been in it a little bit more or a little bit more noticeable or something.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I also expected him to be the front man, front and center. I mean, maybe not necessarily singing. I didn't even know, like, was he, before doing Keanu Club, I never really heard Dogstar. I have heard of them, but I didn't know if he played guitar or sang, or, I mean, I know he didn't play drums, but I mean, if he was just singing or whatever, but yeah, more of a front man is what I was expecting, and to not get that was disappointing.
They opened for Bon Jovi. They played in concerts with David Bowie.
They did a music festival over in Glasgow.
Yeah,
Glastonbury. One of those.
Yeah, the Glastonbury Festival in '99. They had two big bands open for them. Oh, Rancid and Weezer. And Weezer, apparently Weezer's, this is according to Wikipedia, which is
Rancid. Like Weezer, I get.
Two different ends of the spectrum there.
Hey man, whatever. So the same way that I offer disclaimers on IMDb trivia, this is reading off Wikipedia, so it's just as susceptible. They said that Weezer's first gig was opening for Dogstar, which if that's the case, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's right. That rocks. Like, that is the definition of rock. A band like Weezer that will become epically bigger than the band that they opened for.
They're apparently currently reviewing footage for a project that reflects their year's touring.
Oh, cool. I'd like to watch that.
Maybe there's a documentary. I mean, it could be cool. It's sort of the same thing that, like, how Keanu or Cage or whoever we're doing did these movies that we just never heard of. There's just bands like Dogstar that are famous for one reason or another, like in this case, just because Keanu's in the band, that I've just never heard of, you know? So it's just, I would like to sort of see this kind of unknown band with one movie star in it hitting the road, and I'm sure that they had to deal with, like, crazy weird things that a band of their size never had to deal with just because Keanu's in the band.
Yeah, I wonder if it kind of centered around his schedule, like if he did it in his free time or if they went where he went. So I guess the tour footage would be pretty cool to see how that went, especially if you're like the bassist. You can't really call the shots. So how does that work?
Yeah, he's much more like an employee of the band, it seems like, than running the show. But yeah, I'd like to see Keanu's band followed around more than other celebrity bands. Like, I want to see what his life is like off screen, because he just seems so aloof to me. Like, I don't have any kind of concept of what his private life might be like, as opposed to, like I said on earlier shows, you get guys like Tom Hanks tweeting lost clothes all around New York City, you know, crashing weddings and being very outgoing. I just can't get a handle on what his personality is off screen, so that would be kind of interesting to see for me.
I know that Keanu eventually quit the band just because his acting schedule wasn't able to keep up with what, I guess, what the band required. What I think is funny is that Mean Will comes out the same year as The Matrix, and so obviously this was just like an afternoon for him. Like, they just probably played a couple songs for the crew and they filmed it for the movie and that's it, and they just left. But I like that this is the same year that The Matrix came out.
Well, you know what, it actually looks like that this is an actual Dogstar performance, and they were just sort of stealing shots in this scene, like, with permission, you know, like, not like they weren't aware, but it just kind of felt like, yeah, like, come down to the bar, Dogstar's playing, they said you could film it and use it for your movie for free, or whatever, and, you know, just keep me off the DVD cover, or whatever. But that's how it felt to me, you know, it didn't really feel like much more scheduled than that.
What I really would, like, you know, I'm laughing about thinking, but then I realized that it happened a couple years later, is that someone stumbling across this movie, Me and Will, which is written, produced, and directed by the two stars. So this was clearly, like, two women just like, hey, let's make a movie about ourselves doing Easy Rider, or whatever the plot is. Like, I'm so disinterested in this movie that I still already kind of forgot what Mike described to us 10 minutes ago. But it's just them. It's, I guess, just like a passion project about them. But what I love is someone finding this movie and watching it, being like, is that? No, that can't be Keanu Reeves. Just like, wait, what? Like, because if they have, like, one or two close-ups of him, including, like Mike said, him falling over onto his back, and it's just, it's so weird. But then I realized that in Eurotrip, which is not a movie that I've seen in its entirety, Matt Damon's just in a band in that one. And so I guess there's a history, kind of movies with major famous actors being in a band for one scene, and that's it. So even if that history is just two movies, maybe this started a precedent in cinematic history.
Do we know what song they're playing in Dog Star at the beginning?
They're playing a song called Denial. It's the one that Jesus Loves Me, Can You Feel It?
Okay.
Which is, it's not great. It is, I think, one of their better songs, which I guess is good.
Yeah, I guess we could say not only is that 30-track Dog Star set list on YouTube, but this entire movie's on YouTube. So if you want to watch that opening sequence with Keanu for yourself, you can just check it out.
Yep, on YouTube for free, not like YouTube to rent, like YouTube just somebody uploaded, and I guess nobody cares enough to take it down. Like, this is a movie that we bought, like I own on DVD, and I'm just probably not gonna watch, because why would I?
Oh, so here's the opening lyrics for Denial. There is love here, can you feel it? It's from me, it's for me, and I stole it. If caught, I'll deny it. I'll scream and I'll fight it. Like, that's like stuff you write in high school. Poetry that you're like, I'm going to get famous with this. And then you realize you have a live journal that you should probably go through and delete and come across this stuff.
So I was kind of half listening to the music. I mean, I was paying attention to it, but I wasn't into it to the point where I was just like, oh, like, let me obsess over these lyrics. Plus, when I listen to the music, I'm not really paying attention to the lyrics. And then I got to this song, and it's Jesus Loves Me, Can You Feel It? And I was like, wait, are they a Christian rock band? I was like, no, like, I just read their Wikipedia entry. Like, if they're not a Christian band, I just...
They're multi-denominational. Everybody's included.
I guess. I mean, we've already talked about the Matrix and the religion there. We talked about Little Buddha. We talked about how spiritual Keanu is. Maybe that's what this is? I don't know.
Well, how great would it have been if they had a song called Devil's Advocate? Like, about...
Yeah.
If they had a song called The Matrix. I mean, I'm not... I think you see where I'm going with this. Like, just write songs about how awesome your movies are. That's what I want to hear.
I just looked up, on a side note, I just looked up Ellie Parker, and Keanu is once again credited as Dog Star. So I feel like we might have a Dog Star Revisited podcast 6 years from now in 2005 when we have the Naomi Watts, Ellie Parker. And so I might have to message Zach and be like, hey, you don't have to do this movie after all, because not really in it, I don't think.
Dog Star Revisited now and then.
I don't want to listen to
more Dog Star.
Yeah,
the
like,
second half of
we
all
we gotta
their
come
songs.
Up with some other thing to talk about on that episode. But
I know here's more. Here's another song, Bleeding Soul, and the opening
okay.
lyrics are, "I don't want to be here, but I need to be here. I wish that I could. I really feel the need to let my body go, let my feelings show. Here comes another worn out. Here comes another burned out. Here comes another bleeding soul."
Yeah, you speak the truth, Holly.
They're so cheesy. But, you know, like, look, when you're an actor, you can kind of do whatever you want. So, you know what? Be in a band if it makes you happy.
Because, I mean, they started in 91. And so he obviously done maybe 15 or 20-ish movies before then. He'd done Point Break around that time. But, I mean, he's not really... He was Ted. I mean, he's big, but he's not, like... He's not the Keanu in 99. He's not the Keanu in Me and Will.
He was in the mainstream, like he was a young up-and-coming action star, like he was getting the spotlight. Like, it's weird because he was, just, you know, to mention Bruce Willis again, like the other guy with the band, like he was mentioned in the same breath as Bruce Willis, and they have, there's an age gap there. I feel like they're from two different generations, but he was more known than you might realize, and it was kind of weird. I feel like not just him, but like people who try to sort of bounce from actor to singer, or a lot of rappers got it trying to become actors, like they just got a lot of shit for doing it too, you know? So I could understand why maybe he would want to fly a little further under the radar with his band.
Okay.
And play the background a little bit more.
Are there any actors today who are in bands? I'm sure there are, I just can't think of any. Like,
oh, totally. Johnny Depp I know is in one. Who's the Home Alone guy? Macaulay.
Oh, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Pizza Wolf, isn't that his band?
Oh, I guess, so I was talking to Chris Mattiello, host of Now and Again, which we've mentioned a couple times, and go listen to Now and Again, not just mine and Mike's episodes, but the other episodes too, because they're probably even better when there's actually people like, you know, Nico, who knows music and like is passionate about music, as opposed to me and Mike are just like, yeah, let's talk about music and movies. But Chris was talking about how he wants to do a side project of Vanity, songs and vanity albums. Like, there are a lot of actresses, especially, and there's some actors, too, who don't necessarily aren't in bands, but they have songs out, like they tried to become musical artists. And so I guess there's a lot of those in terms of just pretty much pick any, you know, movie star, like female movie star from the 2000s, and they have a song out there, pretty much. So I don't know, it's not the direct correlation, but there is sort of a precedent of actors becoming or trying to become singers sort of at the same time or maybe instead of it.
I think, didn't Gwyneth Paltrow have a duet with CeeLo and then put out a movie duet with Huey Lewis? Like, she
really?
Yeah, like that movie. Wow. Duets is, whoa. It's about a karaoke contest, I think.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, with Huey Lewis. But yeah, and then she danced around with CeeLo and sang. You're right, Joey. Like, I do feel they are like, oh, like, I'm not bored, but I just want to try this, and I'm rich and famous, so I can afford to fail if that's what happens. I can just invest money into my attempt, and if it takes off, that's great, and if not, it's kind of like, okay, on to the next thing.
Well, I'm also never surprised when I'm watching something and an actor or an actress is able to sing or dance or play the piano or something, because in my head, and I know this is an over-exaggeration, everyone that we see on screen, I'm assuming, can do all of those things, because for the most part, unless you just sort of like backed your way into acting, I feel like if you're well off enough that you can be from like a little kid and be like, I want to be an actor when I grow up, you're probably going to learn how to do all of those things so that if you have to do any of those in a part, either as a professional or on your way to becoming a professional, you're not held back from something because like, oh, I can't dance or oh, I can't sing. So whenever somebody just like is able to sing or dance or play the guitar, I'm never surprised. So I guess this really comes down to which actors or actresses want to actually put music out into the world, as opposed to Keanu, who kind of just wants to do it with his friends, and then that just sort of, for one reason or another, gets put out into the world.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, because that kind of reminds me of, like, Zac Efron, right? Like, doesn't he sing, dance, and act in the High School Musical movies? Like, that's kind of where he got his start, and now he doesn't sing anymore or any of that in his movies, but if he belted one out, it would be, yeah, like, that would make sense. And
He is a world-class DJ in We Are Your Friends, though, so let's not take away from him in the music realm entirely, but go on.
But it's funny, because, like, I think of Travolta as, like, sort of the original version of Efron with Grease and everything, and, like, I can't picture him sort of busting out into song. Maybe in Hairspray he did, now that I think of it. But, like, I can't think of guys like Tom Cruise just, like, doing a musical.
But he sings in Top Gun.
Does he?
Oh, you're right. He does. Yeah, so you're right. Like, to be an actor, you should sort of be that triple threat, if you can be.
Like, I'm not saying that every actor is a great singer, but they're all good enough singers that they're passable, like, with, not auto-tune, but, like, well, we'll fix that in post. But yeah, when they're at the bar, I think early on in the movie, he and Goose are just sort of drunkenly singing. What song are they singing? I can't even pull it right now.
You Lost That Love and Feeling.
Yeah. So yeah, so he sings. I don't think that Tom Cruise is ever going to just, like, flat-out star in a musical, but, like, you know, Ryan Gosling doesn't seem like the music type, and he is in Blue Valentine. He's, like, singing playing guitar the whole movie, or like the tiny little guitar, and now he's in La La Land singing, or maybe not singing, but dancing all around the screen. And
yeah, he came from the Mickey Mouse Club, so he was singing and dancing and all that real early.
Never be surprised when an actor and actress can sing or dance or play an instrument. I ran out of things to talk about with Dogstar like 10 minutes ago, so I just was talking about other things. Holly, do you have any other lyrics that you found especially moving or deep, or anything else about the band that you wanted to talk about?
Do we know how they got the name Dogstar?
Yes. I looked it up. Hold on.
Oh, good.
So they were originally first known as Small Fecal Matter, which is the worst name. And then they became BFS, and it was called for either Big Fucking Shit or Big Fucking Sound. And then they eventually settled on Dogstar after Robert Mailhouse, who's the guy who I think is the drummer in the band. Yeah, he's a drummer, backing vocals. He's the guy that Keanu saw wearing a hockey jersey and just went up to the guy. Robert Mailhouse found the name in the book Sexus, written by Henry Miller. And Sexus is part of the Rosy Crucifixion series. Don't know what it is, from 1965. So it's some weird, obscure literary reference that they plucked. I mean, it's kind of a cool name, I guess.
Dogstar, isn't that like Sirius, the star in the, like, it's an actual star in the sky. Like, yes. That seems to me like the reference, not this obscure literary whatever thing going on.
So if you search Dogstar on Wiki, there are five things that come up. Actually, there's six things that come up. There's the Dogstar series in the constellation Canis Major. There's the band. There's a short story called Dogstar by Arthur C. Clarke. There's an Australian TV series called Dogstar. There's a fictional bar in The Returned, which is the US TV series based on The Revenants, Les Revenants. There is also a theater in Brixton called The Dogstar. So I'm imagining that all of these things came from the same source material, but this is the only one that we actually, like, we're ever going to, like, come across other than the star, I guess.
Wow. That is, I am so shocked by their previous names, like the name, like with the fecal matter and the shit this and that, like that seems a little strangely obsessive in one direction. I'm shocked. I mean, why can't you just be like Wild Stallions, take that name, what the hell?
Yeah.
I guess you can't do that, but I mean, really, like, I'm glad they somehow settled on Dogstar. I mean, it's way, way far from where they started, but I'm glad they landed there.
If you want to know more about Dogstar, Holly just sent me a link. There's an article on Vice called I Was in a Band with Keanu Reeves.
It's actually a really awesome read.
Rob Mailhouse, who's the drummer, is an interview with him and a guy from Vice.
Cool.
And it's just from last year, so it's timely.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And there's pictures of them performing.
Apparently they performed on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that clip's online. I think that's up
good.
There. I know we're going to get Keanu back in a documentary about the Sunset Strip at some point. So
Mayor of the Sunset Strip, yep.
Yeah, so I hope we get some Dogstar footage in that.
We will see. I mean, I'm sure, I actually didn't look. Were any of the things on YouTube, were they all just audio, or were any of them like music videos?
I just kind of stuck to the playlist. I saw that Leno clip was up there. I didn't ever click on it. I didn't have time to get to it. I intend to, but yeah, I just was trying to get through the 30 songs that they have. And I think that's all they have, right? They're just 30 songs, which is kind of nice. It's like a nice round number.
There is the clip from where they're on Jay Leno. There's also, they made a music video. This guy calls it the first and best Dogstar video ever made, called for the song Ride. But it looks like a lot of the other ones are just audio or interviews about them. I guess there's a little bit of Dogstar footage out there, but you kind of have to hunt for it outside of the main few hits. But it exists. Or you can just watch Me and Will.
Well, don't watch Me and Will. Just try and imagine a movie where Keanu's an aging rock star going on a cross-country ride on a bike by himself or something. Like, that's a movie I want to see at this point.
Yeah. Holly, any other last thoughts about the movie that you didn't watch or the band that you did listen to?
Stick to your passions. You know, you can be famous and have it all. Yeah. I don't, you know, it wasn't bad. It was good for him.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, I think that's the important thing. It's not bad. It's just not great. I don't think we're the target demographic, is the bottom line.
No.
Yeah, no, I think their time is kind of past sonically. Like, I just think, like, the world is on to different sounds, and the rock they do want to hear needs to be a little harder.
Yeah, because some of it, the closest they kind of get to modern-ish is they kind of sometimes sound like light Foo Fighters. Like, but not Foo Fighters, like, their hits. Like, sort of their more ballady stuff.
Like I said before, I just get the feeling like they're doing it for fun, and it comes through that they're having fun, but for me, it doesn't move me. You know, it's fine, but I just, I need something with a little more push.
Well, thank you very much, Holly, for joining us. You'll be back in chronology, I think, in 14 years for 47 Ronin. So you've got a lot of time in between now and Keanu becoming this Asian samurai warrior channeling spirits and mythical powers. But you were a delight on this episode, and thank you for joining us and playing along with the audible that we called.
Thanks so much, guys. I always have a fun time on this show, so I'm always glad to be asked back.
So for all things Cage Club and Keanu Club and all things on our podcast network, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub. You can see all the Keanu movies that we've done already, everything else that we've covered. We just wrapped, by the time you're listening to this, about a month ago, we wrapped our one-month little Shia experiments. There's 30 episodes of Shia movies to listen to, so go check those out. But lots of fun, free things to listen to over at cageclub.me and facebook.com/cageclub. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
And I'm Mike Manzi.
And that was Holly Gore, and we'll see you next time on Keanu Club.